15. So we talked about building friendships, the kind that God would want us to happen, building relationships that are godly and glorifying to God. And I could say that in my life, I can remember from way back in grade one, I was such a shy person, an introvert, a loner by myself. I didn't have friends in grade one. And I remember sitting there, and I was kind of, I didn't even want to do any work. I didn't want to do anything with school. The teacher, that's terrible when you know your teacher and you still remember her name, Mrs. Fines. And I don't remember any other kids at all. And I remember at that age, one time I was climbing a fence on the school property, one of those big fences around the football field. And so I climbed that fence, and I jumped over. This is like 10 feet tall. And I jumped over, and you know what happened? My pant leg got caught on the barb up there. And so my body went down like this, and I went head first on that thing. But I don't remember anybody coming around. And so I didn't tell anybody either, because I'm that quiet kind of person. So all throughout school, I remember it wasn't, I couldn't make friends. I didn't make friends. I would be friendly to people, and I'd be their friend if they reached out to me and was friendly to me. Then I could, oh, this is good. But that's the way I was. And even as a Christian, I have a hard time stepping out to make friends. And now look, I'm 60 years old. I've been saved for 37 years now. So I've had a lot of practice at it. So just what you think about me is totally different from what I feel inside. But we do these sort of things. We try to make friends, and I still struggle with that. I struggle with just striking up the conversation with people. And when it's quiet with people, it's quiet, I get really antsy, really nervous. And so I say something. It's like when we get on the elevator, it's so somber on an elevator, isn't it? It's like everybody is so quiet. So if something is said, I might say something. What, it sure would be funny if you saw me standing in the corner and talking to that corner. What do you think? And so it breaks the ice if someone says something. You know? So you work at developing friendships. But we want to make sure that we develop godly friendships, the friendships that honor the Lord. Now, the Bible tells us very clearly that Jesus was a friend of publicans and sinners, wasn't he? So we are to be friends to the lost as well. And that's being godly. That's Christ-like. We should be that way. And so we will try to step out and become friends to even the unsaved people. We work at it. And sometimes it takes a while. You build a bridge to that friendship. And Lord willing, we'd be able to talk to them about the Lord. Maybe they'll come to trust the Lord as their Savior. Maybe years down the road. Maybe sooner than that. But we do need to develop those things. And, you know, there are 10,000 people out there just like myself, and even worse than me, that have a hard time being friends. So what happens in their life? They become lonely. There's a loneliness that they have to cope with. So they become lonely. And then they might be introspective and be afraid to let anybody know that in case they didn't like what they see. So they become paralyzed and won't step out of that. And so they find themselves very hard to even have a close friend or close friends. So people are like that. Maybe even you are like that. But God didn't create us to be loners and to not have friendships, relationships, and companionship. He didn't create us to not have those things. He created us for those things. That's why he said in Genesis 2:18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that a man should be alone. I will make him and help me for him. That's why he gave Adam helpmeet. There's another reason why God gave him children, for that friendship, for that relationship and companionship with him. And that's, how do you think they were to be able to multiply and be fruitful and multiply by interaction, having that friendship, having right relationships with each other. So we're relational in the beings that God created in His image. So this is a good thing that we do this. So all of us have a responsibility to dig deep within what the Scripture says and to live this out in life. And, you know, the reason why we don't, it may have something very much to do with our sinful nature. Why? Remember what Isaiah 53:6 says? All we like sheep have gone astray. So he uses the plural. All we like sheep have gone astray. And it says, we have turned each one to his own way. So when Adam and Eve sinned, they broke their relationship, their fellowship, that companionship that they had with each other, as well as that with God. And that had to be reestablished, rebuilt, and continue to be developed now that they have a sinful nature. So we need to understand that we need friends, but we need quality friends. God wants us to have quality friends. And it's amazing how many times you find the word friend in the Bible. Friend or friends or friendly or friendship. I've counted them. I've gone through all of them. And there's 107 of them. 107 times that word is mentioned or form of that. Not to say that there's other words that go along with that that would emphasize friendship, relationships, neighbors, a fellow, and there's a lot of other things, just a companion. So friendship is very important to God. God is not just concerned about our spiritual needs. He's concerned about our emotional needs as well, needs for friends. And He's provided a way for us to have godly friends and to be a friend and glorify God in those things. So when we talked last week about John chapter 15, and we made note of, we broke it down in portions, the first 11 verses talking about our relationship with God. And then verses 12 through 17 is our relationship with one another. And then 18 through 25 is our relationship with the world. So there's you can see it's very important to the Lord Himself that we have the proper relationship, a relationship that glorifies God. And we can have that when we have the right relationship with God. When we have that relationship, it's easier to develop that relationship with each other and with the world. So He uses basically a whole chapter in dealing with relationships. And so we wanted to make sure we have a good understanding of friendships. Everybody needs a friend. Now, I want to read verses 1 through 11 to help us to understand the significance of this. And all I'm doing this morning is just laying more foundation, more introductory material to more meat of friendship. If we can see the basis and the premise for it, it surely makes it easier for us to submit to the Lord and say, okay, Lord, I have a weakness in this area. Maybe I'm not even very friendly. But whatever my weakness is, because you show me how I can develop a proper relationship with people, I want to do that. So give me your strength to do this. And so you won't get things out of this. But here's the basis. So in verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it will shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. So you see, our love really depends on His love working in us. Since we are the branches, that's another simile that has been used, or metaphor, eh, Brent? See, the church. The church, if you will, God's assembly, God's people, are the branches. They're like the branches. Jesus is the vine. And so we're part of that vine now. We're grafted into that. We're in Christ in us. And so, because He loved us, we love Him. And by abiding in His love, we will keep His commandments. Part of those commandments will be there in verses 12 through 17 in our relationship with one another. And that verse 12 and verse 17 is very important. We may know something like this before, but in chapter or in verse 12, what did He say? Let's look at verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Then He gives you characteristics of love down through verse 16. But then verse 17, He ends that, and He says, these things I command you, that ye love one another. So what you have is like the love sandwich there. You got the verse 12, the commandment to love. Then verses 13 through 16 is the meat of it, how you do that. And the last piece is the commandment to love again. So it's a good meal. This is a full-course meal here to have a sandwich like that packed in here. So we're to love one another. But we can't do that without abiding in Him. So first you got to be saved. A person has to be born into God's family. A person who has not been born into God's family, they can have friendships, they can have people who like them and they like them, but it's not the godly friendship and it's not the godly love that they have for each other. Because without God, you can do nothing. So if they're godless, it can't be a godly love. But God's kind of love is totally different than the filial love that we would often relate to, that the world would often relate to. We should have those things, but this is a agape love. As He has loved us, that we're supposed to love one another with. We're supposed to love Him. So we're abiding in Him. And so in order to prove your love, or I would even backtrack that, loving people in a godly way is actually evidence that you are abiding in Him. If you don't love one another, John talks about this not just here, but in 1 John. He says, if you hate your brother, you abide in darkness, and the truth is not in you. So a person can't hate their brother or sister. If there's hate there, then it's obvious they're not abiding in it. It's obvious then that they have a problem with their relationship with God. Well, we abide in Him, and while we abide in Him, His love is going to flow through us. It enables us. And we will love others. And so how do you begin to love others? And that's what really we're going to go into next week. But how do we begin to love others? We're going to examine those verses to show five characteristics of Jesus' love toward us. And He said, as I have loved you, what are you supposed to do? Love one another. So it's easy then. We can look at those five characteristics. And you'll see how we can have developed godly friendships, godly relationships, because we're manifesting the love of Christ to each other. But we can't really do those things unless we are in love with the Lord and we're loving Him. But while we're doing that, we will submit to those things and we will manifest that. He will come to us because the Holy Spirit enables us. But look, friendships is very important. God is very concerned about friendships, not just the spiritual needs in people's lives, but the need for friendships, relationships, companionship. The Lord, He's purposed that we have quality friendships. And so I believe that we need to consider even Old Testament examples, and I'm going to run through a bunch of examples, and it's not necessarily going to read all the scriptures to you, but I'll give you scriptures. But a lot of these you'll be familiar with, the people who had friends, who had close friends. It's okay to have friends who are closer than other friends. Friendships develop the more you are intimately involved with each other. You see that next week. But the more you're intimately involved with people, the more time you spend with people, the more you learn about each other, the more there's mutual things in your lives, and you get to know each other and likes and so forth. And so you end up gravitating to people that are more along the lines where you can work with. And even if they're not, there may be some prickly people that you have to become friends with. People that are not so easy to get along with. I find people like Dieter who get old and cranky as they go. No, just kidding. But that, isn't that what it seems like some people get? They, when they get old, they get cranky. That's what, you know, the world looks at it. Christians ought not be that way. We should get cranky as we get older. We should, if anything, we should be getting sweeter. We should be getting more mellow. We should get more loving. After all, we've had age and experience, don't we? Okay. Well, how are we doing? Oh, I really need to know. Okay. Albert, what are you doing now? Okay. You're involved in it. Amen. Good. All right, so really, we all need this, and as we said, you may have just a handful of close friends. That's fine. You may have two handfuls of close friends. That's fine. But that doesn't mean the others aren't your friends. And there are people you may spend more time talking to that may not be your closest friend. But you may have people from long times past, distant friends, who are still some of your best mates, if you will. And so it's important that we do understand we need relationships with each other. We need friendships. And Moses knew that of, or God knew that of Moses. Who did he give to Moses to help him during his 40 years in the wilderness? Moses was so concerned, so self-conscious. And he says, in Exodus chapter 4, he says, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. But you know what? God said, well, I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to give you somebody to help you. Friend, that's Aaron. Aaron, and he says, I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you what ye shall do, and he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be, even he shall be to thee instead of a mouth. That's a pretty close relationship, a pretty close friendship that God expected between Aaron and Moses. But he also gave him Joshua. Joshua was a minister that went up into the mount of God with Moses. That 40, those 40 days he was up in the mount, in the cloud, those days, 40 days with them. I tell you, that's a pretty loyal friend to stick with them up there. I wonder what they ate. Baptists got to eat something sometime. Okay? But no, they're up there. And so God gave Joshua and Aaron to Moses. They were good, close friends down through those 40 years or so. Now, how about David, King David? David had many, many loyal friends. When he was out, put out, and fleeing for his life, Saul and his men were out to kill him. But, you know, there's a lot of rejects. Those that were the rejects of society, they rallied around him. They were friends to him. They took him in and looked out for him. But even more than that, he had some closer friends. Remember when he was out there in the cave and he was just thinking about things of the past and he just kind of mumbled under his breath, oh, that I could just drink of the water of the wells of Bethlehem. Wow, that would be... You know what? Three of his soldiers heard him. You know what they did? They went through the garrison, the Philistine garrison, could have been killed. And they went and they fetched him some water. See, that's pretty good loyalty. That's good having friends like that who are willing to do that. Firstly, willing to lay their life on the line for them, for Baal. So he had friends there. And Jonathan was a close friend, probably even closer than those three that wouldn't risk their lives for him. Jonathan, 1 Samuel chapter 18 and chapter 19, Jonathan was King Saul's son. And you know how sometimes we say that blood is thicker than friends? Is that the same, something like that? Okay, you're paying attention. So blood is, in this case though, we think that When something goes wrong between two people, let's just say I was up in Buddy Smith's church there, and I filled in for him sometime, and there was a big split in the church. And this split, it ended up, was because of people being sinful, and because they're related to many people in the church, blood-wise, children, and cousins, and so forth, because the one family gets their feathers ruffled, but they don't want to do the things that are right. They have a disagreement with the preacher. And so you know what happens? They left the church, knowing that it's wrong. Other people know that it was wrong, what was happening, and they did this, and fair enough. But you know what? Many of those family members, brothers, cousins, you know what happened? That blood was pretty thick, and the family left right along with them. It didn't matter whether the church was doing the right thing. What mattered was what blood does. And they're going to go with that. That's unbiblical, but that's what they do. But Jonathan was not like that. Jonathan was a godly man, godly young man. Saul was doing the wrong thing, out to kill David, jealous over the victories that David was wrought for Israel, that wrought for Israel. And so Saul was out to get him, but you know what his son did? He stood up in the midst of the base and says, King, Dad, that's, you're wrong for doing this sort of thing. He's not done anything wrong to you. And Saul was so furious even with his son, he threw a spear at him. But you know what? Jonathan stood by Saul, and then they met. I mean, Jonathan stood by David, and they met together in a certain place, and they made a covenant together. And so Jonathan, even though he's blood to Saul, did the right thing because it honors God and had the right relationship. They had a close companionship, friendship there. So we can see that in David having some close friends. We mentioned last week the Lord had his 12 disciples. One of those even was a devil who betrayed him, Judas. And then he had a closer circle, if you will, Peter, James, and John, who went with him many times. And then how about early in life? You know, Peter had a wife, right? Peter had a wife, and no doubt that was his companion and a great friend and all that. But you know what the Lord did? The Lord saw Peter going through some struggles. Peter denied the Lord. And I can imagine that because he denied the Lord, he felt really bad. Because remember when Jesus was in the hall there, the judgment hall, and Peter was out there warming his hands with the people that were out there, and we know the story that he denied the Lord three times, as Jesus said it would happen. And at that time that happened, the cop crew, Peter had a straight shot at Jesus' eyes, and Jesus looked at Peter straight in the eyes. And it says that Peter went out and wept bitterly. That played on Peter. And so he denied the Lord, just as the Lord said it, and it convicted him so bad that he was weeping bitter tears. You think other disciples saw him weeping bitter tears? No doubt. You think that he was going to be able to overcome that so easy to actually face the reality that he has just denied the Lord like that, and others going to know about that, how humiliating, and he's ashamed of himself for what he's done here. I can just see him somewhere in a corner while the disciples were gathered together in somebody's home in a room there, sitting in a corner, groveling in his self-pity. Woe is me because of what I've done here, and rejected and so bitter about what he's done. I would say that he could use a friend. You know, God did. I believe God gave him John as a good friend. And when you read of in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, who do you see close together, side by side, quite frequently? You see Peter and John together. God gave Peter a friend in the great time of need, and they became even closer together. You can look at Paul. He was constantly associated with an intimate circle of friends. We can talk about Timothy was around him at times, and we can talk about Barnabas was with him at times. We can talk about when he was facing death, he urged Timothy to do thy diligence to come to me shortly. Only Luke is with me. Luke was with Paul on many of his missionary journeys. Close friends. He was surrounded by friends. And even women were his friends. We're going to see that when we study Romans 16 on Wednesday. But even he had a lot of friends who were women. He mentions these women by name in chapter 15, verse 1 and 2 was Phoebe. 3 and 4 says Priscilla and Aquila were friends to him. Then verse 6 mentions Mary. In verse 15, he talks about his sister. So Paul was surrounded by friends, close friends. You see, important people, if you will, people that make a difference, they have friends that make an impact. John was banished to the Isle of Patmos, wasn't he? And so, banished to this isle, while he was reflecting on things, he was moved by the Holy Spirit to write a letter to who? The elect lady. And that's something that we call the lady. Even very seldom, even queens were called ladies. But he called her such a noble name, such a close friendship that they had with he had with her. Showed, if you were to read that epistle, we would see that she had great spiritual character. She trained her kids, she was hospitable, and he had hoped to see her again. In verse 12. So, friendship is important. God wants us to have friendships, but our friendships are far different than the world's friendships. Friends, generally, the way the world does it, it's for selfish reasons. It's what can I get out of that person? What will I gain? That's often the case. Why? Because the Bible tells us the spirit that is in us lusteth to envy. We want something. It may not come out there verbally, and if we examine our motives, or if we don't examine our motives, we may not realize that. But that's generally the way it is. And it's a shame when Christians will come to church. Christians will come to church and they see a big church. They see the nice cars out in some of the parking spaces there. And they think that, this might be a good resource for building my business network. I might get some business out of here. And so what do? They come and be part of the church and start making acquaintances. And you know who they often will gravitate to? Those who have some money because they want to gain from them. There are Christians who will do that. They don't come to church because they love God, they want to worship God. Oh, they say they do. But in their heart of hearts, they come for different motives. You know, men will do that too. Men at times will do that sort of thing for finding a woman. I don't know about women doing it, but I know too many times, too many men, young people, young adults. I think I'm ready to quit sowing my wild oats. Better settle down. Better go to church and find a good girl. See, that's a load of rubbish to do that. But their motive is find a good girl, not to because they love God and they want to worship God. So Christians can even come for the wrong motives. Be not like the unsaved. The friendship that God wants from us is far different from the world's. So the quality of our relationship with other Christians is not only a blessing of our new life, but it is evidence of us having a new life in Christ now. We'll seek it out. All right, so we've seen a few things there. Look back to John chapter 13. John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, the two good verses. So to start us out, the Lord, he wants to us to relate to one another on the basis of our Savior's new commandment. Look at verse 34. It says that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Verse 35, by this love ye have one another, God's love. This new commandment, by this love shall all men know that ye are my disciples if ye have love one to another. That's godly love. That godly love stands out in a person's life, and it shows in the relationships that they have with one another. We made note of in John chapter 15, verses 1 through 11, about the vine, the branches, and abiding in him. And see, this is the essential nature of a Christian life. It is abiding in him. And so just as that branch draws its juice, its nutrients, its nourishment from the vine, we draw our life, our ability to love, we draw that from the vine. We draw that from Christ. So my responsibility is to allow Him to live in me and through me. When we look at our life where we have this union and communion with the Lord, it'll never isolate us from other people. Having a life of communion with Him, it'll never isolate us from other people. It'll never be where we're going to want to withdraw from Christians, because He's not that way. And we believe when we depend on Him, which we do, because without me you can do nothing, but because we depend on Him, doesn't take away from our need for being interdependent on each other. So Christians who draw away from Christians, they have a heart issue, because that's where it all comes from. Do we have the love of Christ dwelling within us? Are we evincing that? Well, we evince that by associating with believers and becoming friends to each other, having a godly kind of love, the agape kind of love. So we're commanded to move into this relationship, as we mentioned, in verses 12 through 16. So this is a constant command. When I read verse 12 and I read verse 17, He said that ye love one another. So this is a constant, continuous thing. Even if they don't love us properly, we have to love them properly. Our love for others shouldn't be dependent on their reaction or response to us. Boy, oh boy. Christ didn't act that way, did He? Even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So He loved us, and He evinced that by giving His life for us. I believe that we got to live a life of love for others. That's the what God has to do. And so the basis of our friendship, beloved, God says is love. That's the basis. Don't have any other ulterior motives. Don't seek what we can gain from other people, whatever it might be. It could be monetary. It could be materially. It could be some kind of resources that are useful to you. That's not how we're supposed to love. We're supposed to love the way God loves us, and that's unconditional. He loves us. That's agape love, without expecting anything in return. Are you going to get your head cut off every now and then by doing that? Are you going to get your heart torn out of you every now and then? Yeah, every one of us has experienced that. There's a risk in doing that, but that's the way God's love is manifested in our lives. We love in spite of how people treat us. We don't have much to stand on when we compare ourselves to some of the martyrs in the past who loved the sinner who was about ready to cut their head off, who loved the sinner who was about ready to put them on the chopping block or put them on the stretcher, that machine that they lay them out tied to and they stretch them to die in the faith. No, we don't have hardly anything to stand on when something goes wrong amongst too many believers. It's like, well, a tit for tat. Yeah. Well, where's the love of Christ in that? There's no love there. But love is the key. Love, because this is the will of God for us believers. So the basic issue here then would be abiding in Him. When He said in verse 10, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. So if we want to have fellowship with the Lord and want to enjoy His fellowship, then we need to be keeping His commandments, loving one another. We have made note of about our vertical relationship with God, and if we are right there, if we love God properly, it'll work itself out on the horizontal level. So like that, I like those crossword puzzles that there's enough answers going down that you can figure out the ones that go across even if you don't know the answer, because it's spelled out for you. That's nice. And you know, that's the way God's commands are. When we submit to His will, we love because He loved us, and we want to manifest that love, it's going to show in different ways. And we're going to see that in Christ's way. But as we show those things, you'll discover that, oh, I can do that. Oh, yeah, that's no problem. Oh, I could cover that. You know, love covers a multitude of sins. So, yeah, I'm not going to let their behavior to me or what they've done to affect my relationship. I'm still going to love them. And I'm not going to badmouth them. I'm not going to say anything bad about them to anybody. that was just between me and him and her, whatever it might be. And so I'm going to protect them, and we're going to keep on having our relationship. I'm going to love the way God loves us. This is his commandment, that we love one another as he has loved us, that ye love one another. So if I'm abiding more deeply in his love, the more I love more deeply him, then that's going to come out to each other. So with these things in mind, I think we can definitely say that there is a direct link between the love of God and his love in us and friendship. And he said in verse 13, he says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's biblical love. That's agape love. That's the kind of friendship God wants us to be developing, based on love. It's not just your mutual attraction, but it's based on loving others in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and letting his love be our standard. When we focus on those things, we'll be all right, beloved. But when we don't focus on those things, what happens? Yep. So that's the kind of love we need to base our relationship on, God's kind of love. So what he said in John 15, if I could read verse 13 through 16, I would, but we don't. I want to do that right now. But you read that on your own, and you'll see the friendship for us in terms of five characteristics that will play out in Jesus' life, but it'll play out in our life as well. So we don't really partake of his love if we're not partaking of love one another. So let's love one another, and we will learn more as we continue on going through these things. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for the